Good evening and welcome to our Tenebrae service. I draw your attention to the back of your bulletin. Please look at the back of the bulletin. We are in the middle of the Triduum. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday are 3 days, one part of preparation for Easter. Explanation of the Triduum is at the bottom of the page. Join us tomorrow evening at 7:30 for the Great Vigil of Easter with Communion, and then, of course, the Easter Sunday services. Tonight, the Tenebrae service of darkness. Please follow along as I read the explanation of the Tenebrae service before the procession of the Christ candle. This service is patterned after the ancient office of Tenebrae. The Latin word Tenebrae means darkness. The purpose of the service is to impress upon us the terrible reality of sin, which caused our Savior to die for us. A total of 8 candles are used in this service. 7 of these candles, which are on the altar, represent the 7 last sentences which our Savior spoke from the cross. The 8th candle is the Christ candle, which processes and recesses into the sanctuary. As the 7 candles of the altar are extinguished one by one, causing the chancel to become increasingly darkened, we are reminded of the darkness that covered the earth at the time our Lord spoke these words at his crucifixion. It also serves as a reminder of the spiritual darkness in the world. Jesus is the light of the world. The exit of the Christ candle at the close of the service signifies Christ's death and burial. When the book on the altar is lifted up a few inches and slammed back down to create a definite closing sound at the end of the service, it symbolizes the stone that was rolled over the entrance to the tomb. With the sealed tomb, the meaning of the cross is fulfilled, the sacrifice complete. Jesus' body rests in the tomb for the Saturday Sabbath. The Christ candle is not extinguished at any time during the service, as it is symbolic of the eternal light of God's love in Jesus, the eternal Son of God. Though evil had its hour, the light of God's love continues to shine for all eternity. Join us here on Saturday and Sunday to rejoice in the glorious message of the risen Christ. Turn to the inside of the bulletin, and we now sing the processional hymn for the Christ candle, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted of God, hymn 451. We stand and face the Christ candle as it enters the sanctuary. Hymn 451. Please rise.
Jesus.
hymnal to Psalm 22, the Good Friday Psalm. Psalm 22 we chant responsibly by a whole verse with the choir, verses 1 through 19.
From the words of my cross. Testament reading for Good Friday is from Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and many shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred, beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 19th chapter. Jesus went out bearing his own cross to a place called the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription. The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. It was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. The tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the hymn, "O Sacred Head," in 450, verses 1 through 4. You may be seated. the name of Jesus, amen. Three words. It is finished. Perhaps you built a chest of drawers, you made it, you stained it, family uses it, it was finished. Perhaps you baked a cherry pie, it was a lot of work, it was finished. Perhaps you pickled a bunch of cucumbers for your family, it was done, it is finished. How much more important is the verdict of God on Good Friday when Jesus said, "It is finished"? Those are the words for you today to remember as you leave here this night and on this holy weekend. It is finished because death didn't come to Jesus. Jesus came to death. Death didn't come and steal Jesus' life away from him. Jesus went right to death itself and defeated it by dying. Jesus defeated death by dying himself. The reason why the centurion said truly this was the Son of God when Jesus died was the centurion had never ever seen a person crucified die like Jesus died. When Romans crucified people, they slowly got weaker and weaker, and sometimes they were on the cross for several days. They began to lose their breath and finally faded away. When the soldiers break the legs of the robbers on the left and the right, they quickly collapsed and suffocated and died. But they didn't break Jesus' legs because he had already died within 6 hours. The work that Jesus had come to do was completed within 6 hours. Crucified at 9 a.m., darkness over the land at noon, and he dies at 3 o'clock. He was the one that decided the moment it was time for him to give up his spirit to the Father in heaven. And the centurion knew it. He looked at Jesus on the cross and realized that man whom we just crucified was totally in control of everything that was happening here. The earthquake, the darkness. Jesus, in the seven words on the cross, which you're about to hear, was describing everything that has to do with our relationship between us and God the Father. When he said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do," that's exactly why Jesus came. That the forgiveness that we have is earned for us by Christ. Our sins were placed upon him, so his righteousness now is placed upon us. Father, forgive them. When Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise in the Bible is another picture of the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were driven away from the Garden of Eden, but in the book of Revelation, we are welcomed back into the new Garden of Eden, paradise, where we eat from the tree of life. We drink from the river of life. Today, he said to the robber, "You'll be with me in paradise," and he invites us also to come before the Father in the new heavenly garden, in the paradise. When he said, "Woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother," John would take care of Mary for the rest of his life. But Jesus is reminding us that the true family of God in baptism, father, mother, sister, brother, is the Holy Christian Church. We are all the family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of his family, just like John and Mary. When Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" he was quoting Psalm 22 that we just sang that was written in 1000 B.C. 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified. David describes exactly what happened on the cross. None of his bones were broken. They cast lots for his clothing. They pierced his hands and feet. And Jesus was not kidding when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God the Father turned his back on the Son so that he can turn his face towards us. Jesus experienced our hell on the cross as our substitute. So we have the sure gift of heaven and eternal life. He will never turn his back on you, but always turn his face towards you. When Jesus said, "I thirst," He needed a drink of that sour wine before he spoke his final words. I thirst. Jesus says, when you come to me, you never thirst again. You drink from the river of life. You have the river of life in Christ. You know who God is through Christ Jesus. You never thirst because Jesus thirsted for you. And when Jesus says, it is finished, a whole theology book can be written and has been written on that one phrase, meaning all the phrases we use, redemption, justification, atonement, propitiation, paid in full in His blood, are wrapped up in those three words, it is finished. His blood is sufficient as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. The reason we're saved by grace through faith is because the work is completed. You cannot add to a gift that's already completed. That's what we receive through faith in Christ. And when He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. His spirit left His body and went to be with the Lord in heaven. And they put His body in the tomb. It rested there on Saturday and was raised on Easter Sunday. He committed His spirit to the Father. Those are the words every one of us wants to say on our deathbed. I have heard people say that on their deathbed. Father, I commit my spirit to you. And we fall asleep in Jesus, and we rest in Him. So this night, remember the verdict of God. Remember, death did not come to Jesus. Jesus came and met death and gave up His life for our salvation. Remember these words today and be comforted that you have eternal life. As a baptized Christian who receives Christ's body and blood in Holy Communion, cling to those three words this weekend. It is finished. And so say those words with me. It is finished. Amen. All praise to Christ Jesus crucified for us. Amen. We continue to sing, O Sacred Head, hymn 450, verses 5 through 7.
Oh, make me love.
We stand to pray.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious to behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Tenebrae, the seven words from the cross, you may be seated.
behold your mother. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And to the disciple, Behold your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. In 447, verses 7 through 9.
Thank you.
fourth word, my God, why have you forsaken me? From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.
Yeah.
seventh word. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. When the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things.
Since it was the day of preparation, the bodies were to be removed from the cross on the Sabbath. The Jews asked Pilate that the legs might be broken and might be taken away. The soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw his bore witness, his testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, the scripture, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks were split. Tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake, they were filled with awe and said, Truly, this was the Son of God.
There were many women looking on from a distance. Among them, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, a rich man came from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own tomb, which he had cut in the rock. He rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate. "Sir, we remember how this impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure till the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting the guard.